I was overweight. I was miserable. I'd been to my GP, who said to me at this point recently, they were like, "Your blood pressure is very high." And I'm just like, I'm 40 years old. I'm overweight. I'm looking at having high blood pressure. There was talk of if we come back and see it this high again, we're going to have to start talking about going on medication for it. And I was thinking to myself, I'm 40 years old. I am not going on blood pressure tablets because the main biggest reason is I've got overweight. And that for me was I've got to do something about it. The amount of people that say to me, "Oh, I couldn't do it," I say to them, "You can. If I can do it, I was big when I started, and if I can do it, anyone can." And that is a real literal. This isn't like when you get one of those really in shape, super fit people say, if I can go out and do this, then anyone can do it.
Hello and welcome to this week's Running Tales podcast, where we aim to tell the extraordinary stories of everyday runners. My name's Craig Lewis and this week's guest is Russell Watkin. Running has transformed Russell's life since he started training for next year's London Landmarks Half Marathon. When his journey began, Russell was overweight, suffering from depression and struggling with the effects of long COVID. Spurred on by a desire to lower his blood pressure, and to raise money for Tommy's, a charity which works to counter the heartache of baby loss, something Russell and his wife have experienced by having had miscarriages themselves in the past. Russell set about starting running and changing his life. I spoke to Russell about pushing through the hard times, how he gets grumpy when he doesn't run, and why everyone can improve their lives through running. But I started our conversation by asking him just what the challenge is that he's now set himself.
So for me, what I'm doing is I'm doing the London Landmarks half marathon in April next year. And my sort of main reason that I wanted to get into it was my wife ran it this year. And she obviously started with Couch to 5K and just progressed from there, and just watching what it did for her and watching just how much it changed her for the better. She felt better physically, mentally. And I just, after she did hers, I just thought, why don't I try and do it? So I thought to myself, for myself, I'd obviously, at this point when I'd agreed to do it, I was probably the heaviest I've ever weighed in my life. I was just over 18 stone. And I was just like, I need to do something for me to lose weight and to just get healthy. I was also fresh off a breakdown after I worked in my local emergency department for years, all through COVID. And just the stress of that caused me to sort of have some real sort of mental health struggles. And I just thought to myself, this could be something that can just help me. And it has been. It's been amazing.
Well, thank you so much for all the hard work you did during COVID, because I take my hat off for anyone who was working in hospitals at that time. It must have been impossible, and I don't blame you at all for feeling pressure as a result of that, because what a terrible time it must have been. But I'm just wondering, what sort of relationship did you have with running at all before you started this? Had you ever run before? Did you run at school?
When I was at school, we did a lot of running, things like cross country. But after school, I never really did running or anything. And I did try during when my wife started it. I did try Couch to 5K then. And I think I got to week three. And at that time, I was just mentally that I wasn't ready for that kind of thing. But then when I agreed to do the London Landmarks Marathon next year, to give myself that extra bit of inspiration, I've signed up to do it for Team Tommy's as well. So it's a charity that obviously we've had personal experience with that kind of subject, and friends and family have. So I was just like, it's a win-win for me. It's going to give me the motivation that I need. So when I have them days where you go, oh, I can't be bothered to get changed or, to really go out and do it, it gives you the motivation that I needed.
Yeah, and for those people who don't know what Tommy's is, are you able to maybe just give them a quick explainer of what they do and why it's so important?
Yeah, well, Team Tommy's is a premature and stillborn baby charity. They're based at St. Thomas's Hospital in London, and they're part of the events organisers as well. And, it's I also, when I did this, I turned a lot of my social media into a blog, because it's something that people don't like to talk about. I created like a little poster with a QR code on, and I've approached things like supermarkets, because, you know, how many times you've been into Tesco's or Sainsbury's and there's somebody on a bike or doing something where with their little charity bucket. And I found that every one of my offers to all of these people all got rejected, because, you know, they were like, yes, they're an amazing charity, but, you know, for what they're for. And obviously, I just think, you know, we shouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed to talk about baby loss, because sadly it happens.
100%. And we've spoken to a couple of people on this podcast in the past who've sadly had to go through that same thing, including a very good friend of mine, Wayne Chalmers, who runs a charity called Team Daisy and has actually run London Landmarks as well himself in the past. And one of the things he mentioned was in terms of the hospital locally at Northampton, they have a baby unit, a pregnancy unit. And whether you're a pregnant couple and you go in there, you're in there in the same situation if you're someone who's just left a child, standing in the same room with young children and pregnant women, and they're desperately trying to have a separate unit for that, because it's just a terrible situation to have to be in at what must be the hardest time of people's lives. And he very much talks about that 100% need to be open about this kind of thing. Now, you mentioned briefly there, and don't feel like I'm forcing you to talk about something, but I think you mentioned you had personal experience of it. Is that
yes, something that's... we've had miscarriages in the past in trying for our little boy who we have now, and we've had family members as well who have sadly had stillborn children on both sides of our family as well. So, you know, it's a subject that, you know, we know, and we've seen how badly it can affect people.
Yeah, definitely. And that is why, I suppose, that is exactly why when you're doing something like this, you're doing it for Tommy's, it gets you to have that extra bit of motivation when it's getting cold and dark and rainy like it is now.
That's it. And I seem to be enjoying them more. I've been enjoying my nighttime runs more than I did when I used to go out in an evening in a summer. I don't know why. I seem to quite enjoy going out for the nighttime runs.
So when did the training start? You obviously got beyond the initial 3 weeks of Couch to 5K this time.
Yeah, I beat that goal.
It sounds like you're enjoying it.
It was May. It was May I started with the original, just with the Couch to 5K. And then when I finished Couch to 5K, probably, what was that, towards end of June, beginning of July, because my birthday's in the middle of July, and I said I'd like to be able to just go for a 5K run by my birthday. And so by the beginning of July, I'd finished Couch to 5K. And I realized at that point that I'd been doing all this running build up, and I didn't feel I was getting any real benefit. And that's when I also realized that it's not just about the exercise. You know, I have to start being better with food. And so at that point, I quit alcohol, because obviously that's it's not the best thing you can do. So I gave up drinking. I wouldn't say I put myself on a diet. I just learned the word moderation. And instead of, you know, having crisps, junk food, Coke in an evening, you know, I now go for a run and then come back and have a water or something like that. And, you know, it was just learning to moderate and things on those lines. I mean, I did convert to, which I still have now, I drink the Huel shakes, for example, for lunch. You know, they've worked wonders for me. And so, yeah, and then from there, that's when I really could notice and feel the weight coming off. And one of the pictures I sent you was like my before and after. And yeah, the picture on the left was the day I first started, and the other one was 3 weeks ago. And when I weighed myself, I was 14 stone recently. So I've lost 4 stone since I started Couch to 5K running, and then just trying to just behave and just be good and sensible with food and, you know, just try and be better.
And I suppose the big question off the back of that is, because people can be bigger, do running and still be very happy and not necessarily lose loads of weight and be happy. It's not necessarily the weight loss that makes you happy. Has the running and the new lifestyle, as well as having that benefit to your weight, has it made you feel a lot better within yourself?
Mentally, physically, it all. It's one of them things that I wish somebody sat me down 2 years ago and said, do this for this and do this while you're doing it, and you will feel a million times better, which I do. I don't think even I realized just how depressed and how miserable I was with realistically with just myself. And then obviously doing the, you know, once the weight started to come off and, you know, I started to get fitter and I started to feel better about the running, you know, the time, you know, the weight starts to come off, your times get a bit better. And then you start to get this real competitiveness with yourself. And, you know, your 5K, you start to get better and then you start to run longer distances. My record at the moment, I'll go to about 12. I'll do about sort of 12K at the moment. I've got my 5Ks down to about 29 minutes when I go for those in an evening. And I found that it's just, I find more enjoyment now of going out and trying to beat my 5K time, for an example, than I ever would sitting in front of the telly having a beer or something like that. So I found for me mentally, it has been the best thing I could have ever done.
And is most of the running you're doing, is it out on your own or are you out with groups? Do you do park run events? Are you involved in a running club?
See, I have dabbled in it, and I find that I personally feel better when I just go out with just me. I've tried the park runs, I've tried the where you go out with other people, and I just find for me personally, I make myself a playlist because I love all music, and I find I just make a playlist up and then put my headphones on and I just go, and I find doing that it just is more beneficial for me. And I just get my headphones on and then I just like it, it's like I'm just in my own world and in my own space, and I just go from there.
I think sometimes when you're out on your own, there can be a real meditative quality to running, which obviously has its own benefits as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds silly, even though I've sometimes got death metal screaming in my ears. It's almost like you're at peace. You know, it's almost like, you know, all the stress of either whatever in a day or anything, I just focus all that energy into my legs and just go. And I find that if I'm with other people and, you know, either people are talking or, you know, if I don't have the headphones on and I just sort of not just looking forward, concentrating, I can't get myself almost into that zone.
And this might sound a slightly odd question, given what you've just said about how much you enjoy it. But when you first started to do running, did you enjoy it straight away? Because I think there's a difference. Yeah.
I remember I was probably about week five. I think it was when Couch to 5K got to like 8 minutes of running and like 3 minutes of walking and 8 minutes of running. I remember doing that. And afterwards, I felt sick. I felt so awful after that run. And I was like, what am I doing? What have I done? Why am I doing this to myself? But I obviously, you know, hence doing it for the charity, I was like, you're not quitting. I was like, you quit everything. And I was like, you are not quitting this. And then, yes, carried on. So I did, at the beginning, have a bit of a rocky start with it. But I just kept telling myself that it's like anything. You don't just put some running shoes on, go for a run and be good at it, be able to go for a 5K and then be able to go and do something afterwards. It was a rocky start, but it's the best thing I ever did was tell myself, you are not quitting, you are carrying on.
I think that's really important and an interesting message for people who are sort of starting out on running, because we all sort of, I think most people who listen to Running Tales probably hopefully like running to some point, but we also know that it can be a painful thing. It can be hard. It's not easy. And that's kind of what makes it so good. But you've almost got to get through that stage at the start where you think, this is horrible. I'd much rather be sitting on the sofa and having that beer.
Well, I do. I'd rather be sat there watching the football, having a lager. But yeah. You said, I mean, I remember when I first started, I used to have to go out in the mornings. I'd drop my son off at school. I'd go for a run and then I'd come home. And the first thing I need to do is go for a nap for an hour to like just for body wise to just recover. And whereas now I can get up first thing on a Sunday morning, go for a 10K run and then take him to the park afterwards. You know, the difference is incredible now. And, you know, that's been in what, 5-6 months?
Yeah, I've seen them and had myself the sort of stages where you reach different levels and different distances in running where you sort of clap the first time you reach it, you're kind of like, I'm going to have to sleep for the rest of the day. And then you find yourself 2 or 3 weeks later and you're like, I've done that same thing that nearly wrecked my entire week and I just feel fine. I can go and do something else now.
Yeah. And that, like you said, that's the good feeling. And then obviously then when you go out again, you know, all I think about is either A, I want to try and match that time, or at the moment I've been pushing the distances a bit further. Like I say, I'm kind of going between 10 and 12 at the moment. The next aim is to get a bit more comfortable with 12 and then push for 15K runs.
Yeah, well, that was going to kind of be my next question, really, because obviously the ultimate goal is a half marathon, that 21K distance. You've gone until April, so I think you're well on course. But do you have a specific plan in place for that?
No, I've kind of winged this from the beginning. You know, I did couch to 5K, and after that, I just spoke to a lot of people. Twitter's been quite good because obviously things like yourself, running tales, and you've got things like UK Run Chat. You know, all you've got to do is post something in there and quite a lot of people give you advice. But I've noticed that you could ask 10 different people, how would you approach it? And you will get 10 completely different answers. So it's, for me, it's kind of just, I've just found my own way with it. I mean, there has been some, you know, some brilliant advice that I've taken on board along the way and things on those lines. But I've just been finding now, like I say, I'm pushing up to 12. And when I find that I get 12 more comfortable, I'll try and then go to 13, 14. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing with it, but I wasn't going to try and go past 15K before. Some people say, oh, maybe you should almost run the full distance. Some people say to me, no, only do around 15. And they like save, you know, the 21K for when you actually do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a coach, so I'm not going to give you advice on that because I think it would be wrong. I think you're exactly right that there are different ways to do it. I know certainly with the marathon, I've heard that advice quite a lot in terms of don't run a full marathon before you run a marathon. But now there's more people also out there saying, oh, go beyond it because then you'll be able to do the distance. So
yeah, that's what this is. It's just like, so I think I'm just going to see how, obviously going forward, how I just cope with it in general.
Definitely. And I think the biggest thing is to enjoy it. Your aim is to do this for yourself, to get fitter and healthier, which you've already achieved. And it's also to raise a load of money for a really worthy charity. So ultimately, you've got the goal, the things to push you on, haven't you?
Yeah, that's it.
How's the fundraising going so far?
I set my original target of what I would love to achieve is around 1,000. And I'm up to about 440, I think, at the moment. So it's going really, really well in that respect. I have hit a bit of a stumbling block with, bless all my friends and family have donated to me, which has been amazing. And I've hit that wall at the moment where, you know, I can't ask people to donate twice. And every attempt that I've tried to make at, can I come in here and do this on this day? Would you allow me to promote this? Would you allow me to promote that? I've hit quite dead ends at every attempt. This is the new learning curve with doing it for a charity is, you know, how do you raise the money? How do you boost your profile enough that people will share your page so that then people will be inspired enough to donate to it?
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll happily put the link to the fundraising page in our show notes and on social media. And hopefully anyone listening to this can go along and chuck a few quid your way. I was intrigued by what you were saying earlier about some of the supermarkets and so on, almost not wanting to promote the cause. Have you encountered that same block on social media, or are people more happy to talk about it on there?
People on like social media have been blessed. Like, you know, when I first started doing it, a lot of my friends were sharing my page. I put a poster up in my department at work and stuff like that. So it seems to have just been where I've just tried to see if I can do it sort of locally in sort of shops, businesses, things on them lines. You know, I tried all the big branded companies that, you know, you sort of go into on a regular basis. I was like, is there any chance you will allow me to come in and do it? You know, you can see here's the Just Giving page, you know, it's all of that. And they were like, yeah, we can see the charity it's for, you know, we acknowledge and we admire what Tommy's do. But, you know, they all ended the same way. Now, they all ended with, but at this time, we don't feel like it's appropriate and things on those lines. So that has been a bit disappointing because I was really hopeful that I could just get into just something to one of these things just to try and boost it a little bit, just to try and raise some more money.
Yeah, I mean, that makes such a huge difference just to get into one of those bigger name businesses and so on and yeah. Get people involved, really. Just going back to the running side of things, it's obviously changed your life. I'm 100% confident you're going to go out there and you're going to smash this half marathon next year. Is there any thoughts of what happens beyond that? Are there any other targets in your mind already?
Yes. I mean, I think one of the things that I have thought about is that my driving force behind all of this is I know that I can't just go, oh, I'll have a week off this week, because I've got to keep going because of what is obviously upcoming. So I have been toying with the idea, probably more than toying with the idea, in all fairness, is to see if I can get into, even if it's not the London Marathon, probably the following year. But to give me the inspiration to keep going, I have debated about whether I then go the full hog and do I go for the full one. And I think the answer in my mind to that is probably going to be yes. I am probably going to end up saying to myself, you know, once I've done the half marathon, I'm going to be like, if I want to keep going, I've got to keep pushing it. And then I have debated, well, not debate anymore. That the most likely goal is to start pre-registering for the full marathons the following year.
Do you feel that that's the thing that keeps you going? You obviously enjoy the running and you can feel the difference it makes to you, but doing set events is what helps you.
I definitely think it's having the target, because I feel like at the moment, maybe I've built all around it, the mindset of I've got this big goal and my goal is to obviously cross the finishing line, obviously in London next year. And that is obviously the goal that I'm working towards. And I think to myself, when I finish that, when I cross the finishing line, I don't want to then just stop. Because obviously I worry that my brain will just go, we've done it now. Whereas I think seeing how good doing this has done me, I think to myself, well, why stop now? Why stop there?
Well, I think, Russell, you sound as if you're slightly addicted as well to the joy of running.
I get grumpy. Last week, I had a cold all week and I just didn't manage to go out. And I was really getting quite sort of grumpy because I hadn't got my gear on and gone out. And, you know, it's almost like I feel a pride now when I've progressed from a big baggy, oversized old band T-shirt to now I actually have proper running clothes. And I have one of the Tommy's vests that I wear now. And, you know, I actually have this real sense of pride when I put that on and things on those lines. And I found that last week where I couldn't really go out because I wasn't well enough, I was getting really sort of like agitated because I wasn't able to keep going. And so, yeah, so I went out on Sunday, first thing Sunday morning, I went straight out again.
Oh, fantastic. What would you say to someone who was in the situation that you were even 2 years ago? Because you spoke about, 2 years ago, I wish I'd done this 2 years ago, 3 years ago. What would you say to someone who was in that position who's sort of thinking, I need to do something, maybe it could be running?
I think it is, for me, do it. You know, do it. Because, you know, I was overweight, I was miserable, I'd been to my GP, who said to me at this point recently, they were like, your blood pressure is very high. And I'm just like, I'm 40 years old. I'm overweight. I'm looking at having high blood pressure. They want, you know, there was talk of if we come back and see it this high again, you know, we're going to have to start talking about going on medication for it. And I was thinking to myself, I'm 40 years old. I am not going on blood pressure tablets because the main biggest reason is I've got overweight. And that's for me was my, I've got to do something about it. So, you know, the amount of people that say to me, oh, I couldn't do it. I say to them, you can. If I can do it, I was big when I started, you know, and if I can do it, anyone can. And that is a real literal. This isn't like when you get one of those really in shape, super fit people say, you know, if I can go out and do this, then anyone can do it.
That's actually one of the things that we really like to try and shout about on Running Tales, because we try and have a real sort of variety of people on. We have spoken to some people who are almost a little bit superhuman and crazy in what they do. But
I've seen some of yours in the past where some of the guys that I look at, these guys that do the ultras, And I just like, no, I wouldn't even attempt it. I wouldn't even dream of one day doing one. It's incredible how some of these guys do it. Or there was one of your guys recently who's about to do his 100th marathon in a few weeks.
Rohan, yeah.
Yeah, because I've been following him on Twitter for a while. And like, you know, he was one of the people that when I first started doing it, I started looking up people who have had journeys sort of similar to mine. And he was one of the guys that actually came up sort of quite early on in my journey. And it's in like you say, it's incredible. You know, the thought that, you know, you're now pushing to do a 100th marathon is absolutely phenomenal.
But he has a, you're absolutely correct. It's a very sort of similar story to you. I think he was 19 stone. He was really struggling. He'd had a whole host of mental health problems with bipolar disorder, and he's really embraced running, and up to, well, he's probably beyond 81 marathons now. But I also think it's really important to remember those stories of people who have. Who've got up in the morning and not fancy doing anything and have reached a stage where they can just do their first 5K, because it can make such a massive difference to you whether your end
That's
goal is 5K or 50K.
it. And like for myself, I mean, I caught COVID right at the beginning, but my only claim to fame with COVID is I tested positive on the same day as Boris Johnson. And I was very unwell with it. I ended up suffering with long COVID afterwards, which I still have now. It left damage in my left lung, which showed up when I had a CT of my chest. I was on three different inhalers. I was on steroids, and since I've dropped the weight and I have been doing the running, I've gone from needing all of that, and I currently use no inhalers anymore, which has been phenomenal. You know, my own GP cannot believe that I don't need my inhalers anymore. My last asthma checkup that I had, because I've gone from being overweight, high blood pressure, long COVID with a knackered left lung with asthma. And I don't even take medication for it anymore because I've got to a point now where, you know, my health has got so much better that I don't even rely on my inhalers anymore. And the last two, I think, have gone out of date in the cupboard because they've not been used.
Well, that's a phenomenal reference, really, for the power of running as well. I just think it really does make such a huge difference to people. It clearly has for you as well. So I suppose just to finish off, what would you tell people as the things that you love most about this amazing sport of running?
For me, it's the feeling afterwards. You know, I never realized how much I absolutely would enjoy just going out on a Sunday morning. And, you know, that feeling that you get when you run that little bit further, when you run that little bit faster, it's almost like it's never ending because you're never going to do something and then go, oh, I'm never going to beat that, because you will always try and beat it and better it. So what I like about it is it's not the kind of thing that comes to an end. You know, you just keep going. There's no reason why you can't go further or faster the longer you do it. And it is just amazing. It's just, I love being out, and it's corny line, but you just feel free when you're out. It's just all of your stress, all of anything, you just turn that into energy, put that in your legs, and you just run it off.
You sound to me almost as if running has made you a different and even a better person.
It has. It really, really has. I was probably unmotivated. I was borderline getting lazy. And now I'm active as anything. And I feel like it's allowed me to just be so much better. You know, I feel like I'm a much better dad to my child now because, you know, instead of struggling to just get up and go for a walk with him, now I run around the park with him. You know, he loves coming out on his bike. So when the weather gets a bit better again, he'll cycle alongside me while I run. And, you know, for me, and I feel like I'm setting a better example for my child, because instead of him seeing me getting older and heavier and struggle more and more, he's seeing me getting older and fitter and healthier.
Well, Russell, I think that's an absolutely fantastic sort of mantra to have, and example to give to your son and to others listening to this. So thank you so much for telling us your story today on the Running Tales podcast. All the very best with
Happening.
London Landmarks. I'm sure you're going to smash it, and good luck with all your running in the future.
No, thank you very much. And again, thank you for having me.
Thanks again to Russell Watkin for joining me on this week's Running Tales podcast. I hope you enjoyed the podcast as much as I did. If you did, please leave us a positive rating or a review wherever you listen. It does help other people to find this podcast and listen to incredible stories such as that of Russell Watkin. If you'd like to sponsor Russell, then the details of his fundraising effort can be found in our show notes. Please go and check it out and help him to raise money for Tommy's. It's a fantastic cause, as we said throughout the podcast. Remember to check out everything we do on Running Tales on Twitter, Facebook, our Instagram page, our YouTube channel, and of course our Substack channel, where we tell all these stories in written form, as well as many others from the world of running. Thanks again for joining me this week, for listening to Russell's story, and I will see you again next week for another Running Tales podcast.